Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Our text today is Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3. This particular passage of Scripture says in the first part, "The integrity of the upright shall guide them." The integrity of the upright shall guide them. Now, integrity is not a word that is used much today, and it's not demonstrated much today. But what it means, if you look it up, it has got several definitions. Specifically, in this context, it is the quality or state of being sound or being of sound moral principle, uprightness, honesty. Okay? So, it comes from the word integer, like a whole number, something that is not partial. So the first definition of integrity is the state of being complete, unbroken condition, okay? Perfectly sound. Now, when you think of a young person growing up, not being spoiled by the world, not being pressured into making unwise decisions, never spoiling their body with impurities like alcohol and drugs, not losing their virginity, and other things like that. By the time a person goes through teenage years and becomes an adult, if they haven't been adulterated, all right, by poisoning their minds with the content of video games and the content of Hollywood movies that display sex and violence for entertainment, you know what you have? You have somebody that has integrity. They are complete. They are in an unbroken condition because they haven't allowed the world to violate them, and they haven't been violated by stepping across, you know, safe boundaries. Well, people like that are rare today. The quality of being of sound moral principle is not demonstrated today. They don't get to see examples of it, so very few people actually come through their teenage years and go into their 20s with much integrity. You don't see it. In law, for instance, you would hope that district attorneys would be, you know, men of integrity. And yet, as we found recently in the Michael Morton case, they can withhold evidence and sway a jury by contempt of court. Teachers don't often demonstrate integrity because you find that teachers will sleep with their students. Of course, that's not true of all people in the legal field. That's not true of all people in education. But the news media sees the cases of the dereliction of duty in law or the dereliction of duty in education. And, of course, those are the stories that make the news. I mean, the teacher of the year was one who slept with the student, you know. Politicians are characterized as liars. They don't ever use that statement when speaking of each other. They'll say he's not speaking the whole truth or something that's more genteel, something that's kinder, something that's less of a rebuke. But ultimately, that's what it comes down to, and you'll see caricatures of politicians oftentimes in the cartoons, and the nose is real long, indicative of a Pinocchio, and Pinocchio, of course, got the big nose because he was lying. Politicians typically refuse to be honest about, you know, expenditures and the problems getting together on a budget and stuff like that. Well, that's not true of all politicians, but those are the politicians that are displayed, for example. And so you see young people growing up in an environment like this, they don't see many examples. Listen, preachers today. Immoral, unfaithful, making a business out of their pulpit or out of their broadcasts. Young people grow up today and see that. They don't see integrity in a preacher like that, that uses his radio broadcast or his television broadcast or his internet presence or his pulpit to make a huge living for himself. People can see through that, and they see in a man like that or a woman like that, they don't see integrity. They see something that's froward, as the Bible says. Or take sports figures today. Oh, the athletes are the ones that gain a lot of attention. There's always something in the news about the athletes. And, you know, you'll have an athlete that will just stand for years in denial about using performance-enhancing drugs. And then, boom, the news comes out. Oh, well, he'd been lying for, you know, years about this. And there's, you know, constant battles and embroiled in Congress and embroiled in the courts as to whether these people really do or really don't use the performance-enhancing drugs. And the whole point is you're raising a society of people that don't get to see integrity displayed as an example. And the men who really do have the integrity and the women who really do have the integrity, they don't make the news. All right, and so a person that has integrity is a person that has a sound moral principle. They are upright and honest, and that's why Solomon's proverb says in Proverbs 11, verse 3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. Now, Bob Jones Sr. said, if you're not very smart, that's not an excuse for you to claim that you don't have to be a person of integrity. Because Bob Jones went on to say, you can borrow brains, but you cannot borrow character. Integrity is a character trait. And that's what we've been studying. Moral soundness. Well, there's not much of that today. Honesty. Not much of that today. As a matter of fact, in churches and in Christianity, it's hard to find integrity because the very standard of integrity, the Bible, has been corrupted. Even Paul said in his day when he was writing to the Corinthians that there were lots of people who were corrupting the Word of God, and that's been nearly 2,000 years ago. Paul said, we are not as many which corrupt the Word of God, but as of sincerity, but as of God in the sight of God speak we in Christ. So even in his day there were many that were corrupting the Word of God. Well, you know, when the devil corrupted the Word of God in the Garden of Eden, he, by corrupting the Word of God, was able to convince Eve to sin against the commandment of God. I'm not fooled for a minute. These modern Bibles are not improving Christianity. Okay? I was so glad to hear one time there was a young girl that said to me she wanted a King James Bible. And I said, that's wonderful. Why? Listen to what she said. She said she wanted a King James Bible because it sounded like God talking. She said, a modern Bible to me sounds like that's what a man wished that God had said. Now, is that not profound? Is that not wisdom out of the mouth of babes and sucklings? A King James Bible sounds like God talking, and a modern Bible sounds like what a man wished that God had said. Oh, I'm telling you, that is so profound. Now, integrity. Integrity will guide you. What will it guide you? He said here, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. Well, what will it guide you to do? Well, first of all, it will guide you to be respectful. People of integrity respect people of authority and respect people of position. Now, respect is not something that has to be earned. When it is due the person who is respectful. Somebody said, and I know this is a fairly coarse statement, but it's true, the deportment of the captain of the company should be known not in his uniform only, but you ought to be able to pick him out in the barracks in his underwear. just by his deportment, just by the way men respect him, just by the fact that he is due that respect. Doesn't have to be commanded. He's honored because of the position he holds. And you know something? People aren't respectful today. Whether you agree with your president or you don't agree with your president, Peter said that there were several things we were supposed to do. We're to fear God, love the brotherhood, honor the king. And he said that about Nero, and Nero is the one that had him killed. Now, whether you like him or not, he is in the position of leadership, and there is a certain amount of respect that's due. Well, what happens today is people that disagree with him spend a great deal of time trashing him publicly, and you know what it trains? It trains people to be disrespectful to other people who deserve the respect. And you know what happens when a society loses its respect for office and respect for position and respect for people of that deserve the honor? As Paul said, honor unto whom honor is due. You know what happens? They become disrespectful. And when they become disrespectful of men, they become disrespectful of God. Hollywood, some of the most disrespectful people on earth. You say, how do you know that? Because they take the name of the Lord God, your God, in vain. Every movie of any great popularity, particularly if it has an R on it, or PG-13, I don't watch them. Rarely will I see a movie, but you know what? They'll say in there, when they have the review, they'll say, language. And invariably, one of those actors is going to take the name of God Almighty in vain. And you know what that is? That is training an entire society of people that watch that to use the name of God in vain. And you know what that's teaching them? Disrespect. You say, well, they don't respect their teachers in school. Of course not. They don't have any authority higher than the situation. They don't respect the teacher in school. They don't respect the parents at home. They don't respect the preacher in the pulpit, when these people are men and women of integrity. And you know what then? You raise a society of people that grow up without integrity. Integrity will guide you to be respectful. When I grew up, I was told that when somebody older than you enters the room, you ought to stand up in their honor. If the gray hair, and I didn't have it at one time, I do now, if the gray-headed guy entered the room, you stood up as a show of respect, and you addressed them as Mr. and Mrs. All right? Integrity will guide you to be something else. Not only will it guide you to be respectful, which is a great character trait, but it will also guide you to be punctual, which is a very good character trait. Integrity will guide you to be punctual. You say, why? Because you're getting paid for a full 8-hour day? Then you need to put in a full 8-hour day. It's so funny. People will come in and they'll lollygag around for 15, 20 minutes and drink coffee and catch up on the news from the night before. And then they'll spend a little time working, a little time on their personal email, a little time on this and that. You know what happens? By the time the day is over, they put in 5 hours worth of work and got paid for 8. Punctuality is that character trait that allows you, that gets you to the place, at least gets you to the place on time. Now, I've got a friend of mine, and he says on time is late. He is so punctual that he'll be there 15 minutes before you, no matter when you get there. You say, why is that? That's because he respects your time. In other words, if he had something else he could have done with that 15 minutes that he didn't do so he could be on time for you, all right, he's showing you respect for the time you set for the meeting. Punctuality used to be one of the gauges by which we determined, people that were suitable for business and people that were suitable for promotion and employment. Listen, when you tell somebody to be at a certain place on time and they're there on time and you tell them to pay their bill on time, you know what? They're going to pay their bill on time. All right, here's another thing that integrity will guide you to be. Not only will it guide you to be respectful and punctual, but integrity will guide you to be frugal. You see, the problem in our government right now, when they're incapable of approving a budget, and I realize, you know, one group is accusing the other group and all that, that argument's going to go on till there's no more country left, okay? Ultimately, the problem is that as a whole, the group is not frugal. What we have done is that we have spent ourselves into debt. We found how easy it was to get debt. And so one guy's not willing to give up his pet. So the other guy's not willing to give up his pet in government. And the debt has grown and grown and grown. And we're servicing that debt as a country at extremely low interest rates. I remember when I was in the banking business back in the 70s and 80s, the interest rates were up around 15, 16, 17%. I remember having some long-term government bonds in the portfolio of the bank that were over 16% interest. If this government ever had to pay this debt back at that late rate of interest, there is absolutely no way. It can't pay the debt now. Imagine what it would be like if you tacked on that type of interest. You know what the problem is? The problem is that they can't get the spending under control and live within the revenues. Do you know that's what we have to do? If you're going to make it in your family and your income changes, my income has changed. My income has gone down substantially. You know what I had to do? I had to get the spending under control. And yet, at the same time, giving can't stop. The very first thing that you need to give out of your income is your tithe. And that's what people will cut out of their income first before they'll ever give up the nights out in the restaurant. You have to learn how to manage your money. And listen, a person of integrity will manage his money. He'll pay back his loans. The Bible says the wicked borroweth and payeth not again. But a man of integrity will repay it. He will live within his means. Now, budgets are a good thing. I'm just going to throw this in. Budgets are a good thing. They can help you get your spending under control and learn how to anticipate big expenses that are coming that you have to set aside money for today. But the one thing about budgets that I've learned using them personally is they can also make you very stingy toward God, because they'll scare you into thinking you won't have enough money for that day to come. Listen, the only person who can ensure that you have enough money for that day to come is God Almighty. You can set it aside, but there are a lot of ways that it can be dissipated. So I tell you what, you don't want to leave God out of your budget. Like an old friend of mine one time said, he said, never resist a generous impulse, meaning that if it doesn't really fit within your budget, but God is leading you to do something, don't be afraid of God, okay? Integrity will guide you to be respectful, punctual, frugal. I'll tell you something else. It will guide you to be good. You know, reputation is a very important thing, and the Bible is clear on this. It is very important for a preacher to have a good name and a good reputation. When you look at the qualifications for pastoring and things like that are over there in 2 Timothy chapter 3, one of the things is the man has to maintain a good report without. Why? Because it can destroy his ministry. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 22, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. So it will lead you to be good. Now, you have to remember, when you do something that God considers good, people who are not good may consider that what you've done is really bad. Paul got a bad name for doing good. Stephen was stoned for doing good. Jesus Christ was crucified for doing good. So when we talk about being good, we're not just talking about the reputation that bad people have for you. We're talking about the reputation you have with God and the favor that you have with good men. Bob Jones Sr. basically put it this way. The test of your character is not what you do in front of people, but it's what you do when you're alone. Okay, what you do in the dark when nobody else could catch you. In other words, a man used to ask, he said, if you could do anything you wanted to do and no one else in the world would know about it and there's no way you could get caught, what is it that you would do? Well, your character right now has put the thought in your mind and tell you where you really are. Well, if you're bad on the inside but your reputation is good on the outside, you've managed it pretty well up to now, but you won't be able to manage it that way through eternity. Integrity will guide you to be good. That's not all. Integrity will guide you to be diligent. That is, that you'll work hard on a thing and not waste time. You'll stay with it until the job is complete. You'll finish the job. That's what another thing that Bob Jones Sr. used to say. The test of a man's character is what it takes to stop him. He had a little saying, finish the job. We are to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Paul said, I have finished my course, I have fought a good fight, I have kept the faith. He finished the job, and a man of integrity will finish what he starts. You can count on him. You know, I love working with the men that we work with, because I can say to one fellow, hey, we need to take care of this. Do this particular job, and I never have to go back and ask him again whether he's doing it or not, or whether he's done it or not. You know why? Because of diligence, because of integrity, I know that job is going to get done, and I know that job is going to get done the way that I asked for it to be done. You know why that is? Because we try as best as possible to surround ourselves with men of integrity, women of integrity, people who are morally sound and honest. Integrity will guide you, Solomon said, and it will guide you to be diligent. You recognize that if you accept the job, then you accept the responsibility to finish the job, and you accept the responsibility to finish the job the way that it was given to you to do, and not to excuse yourself, and not to come up with shortcuts. All right, what else? Well, integrity will guide you to be prudent. That's not a word that you hear used very often, but prudence has to do with being circumspect in your action, in praying over a matter until you get God's guidance on the thing. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, he talks about us being circumspect. You know, that simply means circumference, circumspect. You go around the thing and inspect it, okay? Circum, around, spect, like inspection. You go around the thing and look at it from every angle to see whether or not it's a good decision. And you go and you get good counsel on decisions before you actually make the decisions to make sure that the decision you're making is a good decision. That's prudence. Today I had a fellow call me. He's planning on starting a church out in New Mexico. I think it's a wonderful thing. I love to hear men starting churches, and he was asking me some questions about that. You know what he was doing? He was accumulating his counsel. He wanted to know whether I thought it was a good idea for him to raise money from churches to help him support himself while he is starting this church. And so from our experience, I was able to give him some input about that. I said, well, if you're going to do that, you want to set a target date and let these folks know you're only looking for it for a certain period of time, and then you're going to be on your own. And I said, when you finally get the church started and you're going to want to support missionaries for sure, make sure that you are properly and adequately compensated as the pastor before you start loading the church up with a lot of other monthly expenditures. And you know, if you don't take care of the pastor, you're not going to have a pastor. If you don't have a pastor, you're not going to have a church. Okay? Prudence. Get good counsel on decisions before you start. Men of integrity will do that. All right, integrity will guide you also to be accountable. Now, I'm not for accountability groups. I realize that there's some built-in accountability among men, so that when you're working in a company, for instance, you have a boss and you have an accountability to that boss. And that's right. But I don't like accountability groups in churches. And the reason is that that promotes accountability to men and demotes accountability to God. In other words, once you're no longer part of that accountability group, you can very easily go back to what you were doing before you met that group, because that group can't go with you 24 hours a day and can't go with you everywhere you go when you leave that group. Now, when you have an accountability to God, and we do, every one of us shall give account of himself to God, Romans 14 says, then the beauty of that is, you will work hard because you know God is looking all the time. The nature of a man and the nature of a woman is to work harder when someone is looking over your shoulder. Children behave better when mom is looking. But what that is it creates eye service, and we're not to serve the Lord and serve men with eye service. We're to serve as unto the Lord. So your accountability, if you're a man of integrity or a woman of integrity, will lead you to have accountability toward God that will allow you to understand that God is looking all the time, and that you will be able to stand in front of him and give account of what you've done without holding your head down and saying, well, I did this for men and not for you. Integrity. Great character trait will guide you also to be loyal. That's something that's very hard to find today, and we need more of it. You really find out who your friends are when you get into trouble. And Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 4 starts talking about the men that he ran with, and he talked about some people that forsook him, like Demas. You know, I tell you what, you want to develop some loyal, as a person of integrity, loyalty with some of your friends. You'll stand with them through thick and thin. And you can't even imagine some of the bad circumstances and bad things that are going to happen to some of your friends, and you're not even going to be able to imagine some of the bad things your friends are going to do. But if you're loyal, you're going to stand with them, and a man of integrity will do that. And then finally, integrity will guide you to be faithful. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. When a man preaches God's words, he needs to be faithful to God and faithful to God's words in preaching. He needs to be a man that you can count on, somebody you give a job to, and you know he's going to carry out that job exactly the way that he was instructed to do it. You won't lose any sleep on it at all. He's going to represent you well in front of other people, or she is going to represent you well in front of other people. Somebody that's faithful, who would never say anything behind your back that they aren't willing to say directly to your face. Somebody that is faithful, who will stand for the work you've given them to do and carry it out properly. Integrity, a fantastic character trait that is given to us here in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3. And as a reminder, just to let you know, when it guides you to be respectful, punctual, frugal, good, diligent, prudent, accountable to God, loyal to your friends, and faithful in every service that you take upon yourself. You know what you should do? Cultivate integrity in your life. You say, well, you don't understand, preacher. I messed up my life, and I don't have any integrity coming into this. Then you know what? Start from where you are by the grace of God, by the guidance of the Spirit of God, and by the words of God, and start building some moral principle and uprightness and honesty in your character. It will serve you well all the days of your life.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.